to a Child by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Dear child, how radiant on thy mother's knee, with merry-making eyes and jocund smiles, thou gazest at the painted tiles, whose figures grace with many a grotesque form and face, the ancient chimney of thy nursery, the lady with the gay macaw, the dancing girl, the grave bashaw, with bearded lip and chin, and leaning idly o'er his gate beneath the imperial fan of state, the Chinese mandarin. With what a look of proud command thou shakest in thy little hand the choral rattle with its silver bells, making a merry tune. Thousands of years in Indian seas that choral grew by slow degrees, until some deadly and wild monsoon dashed it in on Coromandel sand. Those silver bells reposed of yore as shapeless ore, far down in the deep sunken wells of darksome mines, in some obscure and sunless place, beneath huge Chimborazo's base, or Potosi's o'erhanging pines, and thus for thee, O little child, through many a danger and escape, the tall ships passed the stormy cape. For thee in foreign lands remote, beneath a burning tropic clime, the Indian peasant chasing the wild goat, himself as swift and wild, in falling clutched the frail arbute, the fibers of whose shallow root, uplifted from the soil, betrayed the silver veins beneath it laid, the buried treasures of the miser, time. But lo, thy door is left ajar, thou hearest footsteps from afar, and at the sound thou turnest round, with quick and questioning eyes, like one who, in a foreign land, beholds on every hand some source of wonder and surprise, and restlessly, impatiently, thou strugglest to be free. The four walls of thy nursery are now like prison walls to thee. No more thy mother's smiles, no more the painted tiles, delight thee, nor the playthings on the floor that won thy little beating heart before. Thou strugglest for the open door. Through these once solitary halls thy pattering footstep falls. The sound of thy merry voice makes the old walls jubilant, and they rejoice with the joy of thy young heart, or the light of whose gladness no shadows of sadness from the somber background of memory start. Once, ah, once, within these walls, one whom memory oft recalls, the father of his country dwelt. And yonder meadows broad and damp the fires of the besieging camp, encircle with a burning belt up and down these echoing stairs, heavy with the weight of cares, sounded his majestic tread. Yes, within this very room sat he in those hours of gloom, weary both in heart and head. But what are these grave thoughts to thee? Out, out into the open air, the only dream is liberty. Thou carest little how or where, I see thee eager at thy play, now shouting to the apples on the tree with cheeks as round and red as they. And now among the yellow stalks, among the flowering shrubs and plants, as restless as the bee. Along the garden walks, the tracks of thy small carriage wheels I trace, and see at every turn how they efface whole villages of sand-roofed tents that rise like golden domes above the cavernous and secret homes of wandering and nomadic tribes of ants. Ah, cruel little Tamerlane, who with thy dreadful reign dost persecute and overwhelm these hapless troglodytes of thy realm. What, tired already? With those suppliant looks and voice more beautiful than a poet's books, or murmuring sound of water as it flows, thou comest back to parley with repose. This rustic seat in the old apple tree, with its o'erhanging golden canopy of leaves illuminate with autumnal hues, and shining with the argent light of dews, shall for a season be our place of rest. Beneath us, like an oriole's pendant nest, from which the laughing birds have taken wing, by thee abandoned hangs thy vacant swing. Dreamlike the waters of the rivers gleam. A sailless vessel drops adown the stream, and like it, to a sea as wide and deep, thou driftest gently down the tides of sleep. O child, O newborn denizen, of life's great city, on thy head the glory of the morn is shed, like a celestial benison. Here at the portal thou dost stand, and with thy little hand thou openest the mysterious gate into the future's undiscovered land. I see its values expand, as at the touch of fate, into those realms of love and hate, into that darkness blank and drear, by some prophetic feeling taught, I launch the bold adventurous thought, freighted with hope and fear, as upon subterranean streams in caverns unexplored and dark, men sometimes launch a fragile bark laden with flickering fire, and watch its swift receding beams until at length they disappear, and in the distant dark expire. By what astrology of fear or hope dare I to cast thy horoscope? Like the new moon, thy life appears a little strip of silver light, and widening outward into night, the shadowy disk of future years, and yet upon its outer rim a luminous circle faint and dim, and scarcely visible to us here, rounds and completes the perfect sphere. A prophecy, an intimation, a pale and feeble adumbration of the great world of light that lies behind all human destinies. Ah, if thy fate with anguish fraught should be to wet the dusty soil with the hot tears and sweat of toil, to struggle with imperious thought until the overburdened brain, weary with labor, faint with pain, like a jarred pendulum retain only its motion, not its power, remember in that perilous hour, when most afflicted and oppressed, from labor there shall come forth rest. And if a more auspicious fate on thy advancing steps wait, still let it ever be thy pride to linger by the laborer's side, with words of sympathy or song, to cheer the dreary march along, of the great army of the poor, o'er desert sand, o'er dangerous moor. Nor to thyself the task shall be without reward, for thou shalt learn the wisdom early to discern true beauty in utility, as great Pythagoras of yore, standing beside the blacksmith's door, and hearing the hammers as they smote the anvils with a different note, stole from the varying tones that hung vibrant on every iron tongue the secret of the sounding wire, and formed the seven-chorded lyre. Enough. I will not play the seer. I will no longer strive to ope the mystic volume where appear the herald hope, forerunning fear, and fear the pursuivant of hope. Thy destiny remains untold, for like Acestes' shaft of old, the swift thought kindles as it flies and burns to ashes in the skies. The End. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.